Well, we've been enjoying over the last several weeks this series in Hebrews, a superior and radical. And we have to remember that the book of Hebrews is written to people who are going through hard times. Many of them had chosen to leave Judaism and follow Christ. And because of this, because of the decision that they had made, they were now facing persecution. So to avoid this hardship and persecution, many were tempted to leave their faith in Jesus and return back to Judaism, because they thought that would lessen their persecution. Some thought maybe that would take their troubles away. I wonder if us today think about our own lives and our own hardships. Maybe we don't face too much persecution for our faith just yet, as others do around the world. But I think if we were to be honest, and as we sit here and watch online, many of us have faced hard times, even over these last 2 years. 2020 was not a year of great joy, celebration. It was hard. But it's in those moments, in those times, when we don't realize the impact that God has for us. It's when we get through this journey. Even as Barney shared this morning, it's hard to continue wearing the mask. And one who's went through COVID and had it quite bad, I forget my mask all the time and have to run back into the house. And so I realize that none of us really like what we're going through. But as we look back maybe next year, or 5 years, or 10 years, will we look back at this time and realize how good God really was to us this morning? And so as we go through this series, it's such an applicable series for us as we journey together in life. Last week we learned that Jesus was appointed by God the position of the great high priest, the superior high priest, knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, sent here to live and dwell among us. Jesus wants us to experience all that He has experienced. But again, if we think of Jesus, and if we believe what the Word of God says, He came and dwelt among us, but was free from sin. And this should have encouraged those, even at that time, to remember what Christ had done for them. It should have heightened their confidence and trust in Jesus. This morning, in our passage, the preacher kind of gets a bit of accusing. He's accusing his followers of being preoccupied. Their faith in Christ had taken a back seat. It had taken a back seat to the things that were happening around them. They had lost their focus. They had lost their focus on what is important. Verse 11 says, "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain." And so he's going back to the passage that we looked back at last week that reminded us of who Christ was. Ooh, now comes the words. "Since you have become dull of hearing." Eesh, ouch, those are harsh words. "Since you have become dull in hearing." He wanted them to be aware of what he was seeing in their lives. The preacher's words were sounding alarm. He wanted them so desperately to stay faithful and to continue growing in Christ, to realize that Jesus is their high priest. Sadly, this message was landing on deaf ears. You know, I wonder about us this morning. If we can become preoccupied with different things, if we get things that go on in our lives. You know, take me for instance. Our first year in Oswego, I can completely remember the nuclear emergency tests. You know, I can remember that first time I heard that sound, that alarm. I was tuned in. I had to make sure what was going on. But now, being here 10 years, I had to look it up online just on Friday to make sure they still did it, that it related to my illustration. That alarm doesn't faze me anymore because it's just a test. But here the preacher is sharing with his listeners that this is no test. This is the real thing. You know, just again, can somebody shout out or text online how many times they do the test a year? Do we know what time the test is going to happen? We become so preoccupied with the warnings all around us. Here the preacher was sounding alarm. He wanted them to be aware of what was going on because of his deep love and concern for him. I want us this morning. This is a hard passage to preach because there's some hard things that the preacher talks to them and he's talking to us, because I believe God's word is relatable for us in 2021, no matter what we've gone through or will go through, that God's word relates to us. And so I want us to be aware of the warning. I want each of us to have a desire to go deeper in love with Jesus, because that's what the preacher here in Hebrews wanted for his listeners. He wanted them to know all that he was offering, all that Christ could do for them. Hebrews 6, 7 and 8, he uses an illustration of a garden. And this morning, our passage totally, I want us to kind of view it in that way. I want us to focus on the garden. We have a garden that is fruitful, and we have a garden that is not fruitful. Here, Hebrews tells us a successful crop, you must have strong roots. You must have strong roots to bear fruit. And so if you've got strong roots and you begin to bear fruit, Blessing will come out of that, so that those that partake in the blessing of the fruit can be nourished and strengthened. The preacher's radical warning is not like the annual test of the nuclear plant. It's real. It's the real thing, because he knows the stakes are so high when it comes to our faith in Christ. If these people were to abandon their faith in Christ, they were losing out on the great high priest. They would reject all of God's promises. And so here, this morning, the preacher invites them as well as us to go back to the wonder, the truth, and the beauty that is in faith in Christ. He is concerned that their faith is not taking root. They were not where he expected them to be. As he watched their lives, he wanted more. But all he could see is them struggling. And so he points out, don't stay in the things that don't matter. Don't stay in the basics. And he points out repentance, faith, washing, or baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, eternal life. Hear me correctly. Those are important things in our faith. But the preacher is inviting us to go deeper. It is one thing to have head knowledge of those things. It's one thing to know those spiritual truths. It's another thing to really trust them. To trust them, then to put them into practice when all the things around us seem to be falling apart. He wants our head and heart to mature together in the knowledge of Christ. He uses the phrase, by this time you ought to be teachers. Again, he's poking them. He's challenging them because he wants them to go deeper. Now we have to understand and be careful not to misunderstand the title that he's using here of teacher. He's talking to those that have been around the faith for a while. and he's encouraging them to go deeper. He's encouraging them, don't you want more? Don't you want to be filled with more of God? Why stay just at the basics? If they could recognize who they are in Christ, yes, they can acknowledge that he's their Savior, but that's exactly where they were staying. They were unwilling to grow beyond that spiritual point. Because of the pastoral heart, he wants them to experience all that God has. And this morning, that same offer is for us. To know what God is offering us. To know how good God is, even in the valleys of life. He wants them to experience that in Christ, they can find hope no matter what they are facing. Some were going through tough times. Check, we're going through tough times right now. Some were making wrong choices. I'm going to turn around. Check, we make wrong choices at times. And some, yes, some were facing persecution for their faith in Christ. Maybe this morning you go to a place of work or even in your family, maybe even in your neighborhood. People know that you have a faith in Christ and they think differently about you. We can relate to what the preacher is saying thousands of years ago today. If we could recognize God's presence, what a wonderful song we sang before the offering, to realize that we are in his presence. Our lives are full of hope because of that. And so, as he's sharing with those there that are listening, if that's true, if that is true, if you recognize God's presence, then you should and would be teachers. And again, we have to understand that it's not, well, I'm going to stand up like Pastor Verlin. Well, I think many of you could do that because you can read better than me and you're probably more confident than I am. Or you think, well, do I have to do an adult Sunday school class? I think it's more than that. I think it's even simpler than that, what the preacher is asking us to do. All he's asking us to do is pour our lives into others. To pour our lives into others and let them know what Jesus has done for you. What a story we have to tell. And so again, it doesn't matter what occupation, what you do with your life, your family members. Allow them to see Jesus and just pour your life out to them. Doing the things that you know God wants you to do. But instead, some were considering going back to what they knew. They were going to go back to Judaism because they thought, well, if we give up on Jesus and we go back, the persecution isn't going to be, things are going to be easier. Again, does this sound familiar? If we only put our faith in Christ and are not willing to grow, we begin to just to go through the motions. We get online, we make sure there a couple minutes before 10 and make sure that it's going, because if it's not going, boy, I'm going to let them know because we want to watch. Or we come, 20 to 10, maybe quarter to 10, we show up and we get in our seats and we can just go through the motions, because if we're in our seats, check. If I open my Bible every now and then and here and there, check. Well, and if I pray, we begin to go through the motions and we just pray for when we need them, when we're out on a ledge, when we're in trouble. And this is exactly what the preacher is saying here. Don't get out on that ledge. Don't get to that place. Don't become dull and bored in your walk with Christ. Because if that's all it is, why are you here? It's in those times when we just go through the motions or life seems too difficult. It's in those times that the evil one begins to tempt us to go back to what we knew. Come on, if you just go back to what you know, it's going to get easier. People won't pick on you. You know those prayers that you pray that don't seem to be answered? You won't have to worry about that. That's why this is a radical warning for us this morning. The preacher doesn't want us to go back. I don't want you to go back. Pastor Danny doesn't want you to go back. We want you to go further and fall in love with Him. Again, I do not have a green thumb. I am not a gardener. Far from it. But when I think of unfruitful garden and a fruitful garden, lick. Because when I think of an unfruitful garden, that's like, well, I'll just pick some ground. You know, I'm going to hope. Oh, I better do this so you don't see me cross my fingers. I'm going to hope I pick the right land. I'm just going to throw some seeds and I'm going to walk away and just hope that it grows. How is that going to turn out? We can accept Jesus as our personal Savior. To be honest, that's like picking out a plot of land. And we can think that's enough. But is it? I believe the preacher here is encouraging us to bear fruit. He's encouraging us to grow, to continue in our knowledge of God. And by maturing in our faith, we will know. We can see. We can understand if we're right with God. And if we're right with God, that's going to help us get right with others. So although he's accusing them of being dull, and even in verse 11, sluggish, he is pursuing them. He's telling them to go deeper. He's encouraging them. And so this morning, if you find yourself a little dull, a little sluggish in your walk, I want to encourage you to continue on. Go deeper. Find somebody to walk life with. Express what you're going through. Why is it so important for us to bear fruit? Why is it so important for us to bear fruit? Let's hold that question just, and we'll come back to it. Here we are, verses 4 and 5 in chapter 6. They're hard to hear. They're even harder to understand. They're harder to understand because I grew up once saved, always saved. I grew up thinking, boy, if I just put my faith, that's enough. If I put my faith in Christ, that's enough. But it's one thing to be called out for being lazy for our spiritual growth. But here, the preacher is crystal clear. If we walk away from our faith, we are without hope. This warning is here because the preacher doesn't want us to get to this point. He doesn't want us to get to the ledge. He doesn't want it to get to that discouragement or disillusionment, or we just don't understand those questions of the Bible. We just can't figure out. The preacher here is telling us, don't get to that point. Stay away from that point. Grow. Begin to bear fruit, and that will help you through these times of tough decisions. And so either we can see these words in verses 4 and 5 as, well, that's just completely unfair. It's not what I was told when I was in Sunday school. It's not what I was told when I was growing up. We could see these words and just rebel against them. If they're going to say that I got to grow in the Lord, well, I'm out of here. I thought it was enough just to get that box checked that I was going to heaven. Or we can see this warning as a pastor who cares deeply about his listeners and is desperate for them to grow in their faith. My friends, this passage is all about a warning out of his love for them. He didn't want them to abandon their faith and reject the great high priest. This whole passage is about faith, our faith. Who do we put our faith in when we face trials? Or our brokenness? Or even when we're persecuted, who do we put our faith in? Where do we look when life gets tough? Do we try to go it alone? I'm tough enough, man. I can do it alone. I don't need anybody. I don't got to share my problems with anybody. I know exactly what I need. Or do we begin to listen to the world? Oh, this is what the world tells us. You know, friends, you know I'm a Canadian, so maybe I'm going to step beyond my bounds. But if God is in control, if he didn't know that Biden was going to be the president, we are in deathly trouble, way more than that. And so if we're going to listen to the world and everything is going to fall apart because who's going to be in the president, boy, we don't have a God who's on the throne that has changed my life, my friends. And I might be stepping beyond our bounds, but are we listening to the world for our answers? Do we walk away from our faith because it just doesn't make sense? Because I prayed hard and I thought this was going to happen and it didn't happen. If it doesn't happen, I'm going to walk away. Or do we listen to the preacher's warning? You know, take Peter for example. Boy, if you want a good example of somebody in the Bible that was with Jesus, that walked with him, that spent time with him, Peter's your man. And what did Peter do when Jesus got arrested that night? Whatever it takes, I'm going to stand by his side. I'm not going to move. I'm going to be with you. What did he do? What? How many times? How long did it take? Not long at all. Before the end of the night, 3 times he denied him. But Jesus never gave up on him. Just like he doesn't give up on us. He restored Peter. He restored him that he could bear fruit for the kingdom. And that's what he wants to do with us when we stumble and fall. He doesn't want us to get to the point to say, this isn't enough. I'm just going to walk away. Friends, we do stumble and we do fall, but we need faith in the one who can restore us, who can bring us back, and so that we can bear fruit for the kingdom. Why is it important to bear fruit? It's important because it shows we're growing and we're moving forward. And it's not a race, my friends. I think so often we look at different people and we say, boy, they can do this and they can do that. Boy, they're learning this. And it's not a race. We all move at different speeds. But it's more than just going through the motions. I believe here the author saw that some were becoming stagnant in their faith, and he wanted more. How do we bear fruit? We extend God's grace to others when they don't deserve it. That's hard. That's hard. Because I like to hold on to things. You hurt me, I'm going to get you back. But we are called to extend grace to others when they don't deserve it. We use our spiritual gifts to bless the church and to bless others. You know, as a pastor, I hear so often, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where I can fit in. Folks, spend some time and say, Lord, what am I passionate about? What do I have a heartbeat about? Where can I get involved? Where can I? And you know what? As soon as you start using your spiritual gifts, and I even put in there, you bless others. But I think you bless yourself because you get to know others and you grow in your relationship with others. What an encouraging thing that we have to bear fruit. When we learn to extend grace, we sleep so much better. At least I do. Because that person that we have a trouble with, they have no clue we have trouble with them. They sleep quite fine. It's us that rumble. And so when we extend grace, that pillow feels so much better at night. And then when we use our spiritual gifts, it's almost like this morning when we were driving to church, I just couldn't believe how blue the sky was and how wonderful it looked. When we use our spiritual gifts, there's something about that. There's something about that God would use little old me to bless others. And then we stay connected. We fall with fellow believers as the worshiping body of Christ, the church. We stay connected. Now I'm going to pick on Kendra here because I got to admit, I watched from my office yesterday. I went out there twice and I interacted here and there. And some moments I thought, boy, it's kind of cold out here. I'm glad I don't got any little kids. But it was a tremendous turnout. But there's Kendra. Aunt Kendra's out there playing. I'm talking with somebody. I got to be honest. She was just covered in snow. And I thought, did they just push her in the snowbank? And so she came up to me and I said, oh, Kendra, you landed in the snow. Nope. They just pelted me with snowballs. We need to stay connected. Yes, that was a simple event thrown together, but when we stay connected as the church, when we gather on Sunday mornings, even here or online, we're connected with one another. The day is going to come and we're not going to need masks. And isn't it great that we can go back and we can say, even back then when Verlin was doing it in his basement, we were doing the best we could to stay connected? What if we just said, you know what, we're going to take a break till this is over, and then we're going to gather together? I think it's wonderful. Look at the advancements we have made. If you would have known how long I wanted to put us online, it's gone on for years. Wade was nagged by it because I knew that there was advance. So I can look back to 2020, and as goofy as it looked downstairs in my basement, if you would have come there, you would have thought, wow, that's kind of set, different kind of a setup. But I look at it now, and I think, Lord, you put this pandemic in the way so that the church needed to move forward. And so here we're connected. And so if we can stay connected even by this way of sitting apart, watching online, we are the church, my friends. We reveal the fruit that are mentioned in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Quite a list, quite a fruit. But that's what he wants to give us. And when we open and receive them, how much difference will we be? My friends, as we look at those four things, are they evident in your life? Are we extending grace? Are we using our spiritual gifts? Are we staying connected in community? Do we reveal the fruit? Are we moving in a direction that we are becoming more Christ-like? Can others see Jesus in us? See, verses 7 and 8 in chapter 6 are a wonderful picture that the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. For the land has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. We talked about that rough garden. Now this garden. What a picture. A plot that was specially picked out. A plot that was cultivated and worked on. A plot that actually didn't just throw it, but he planted the seeds. A plant, a garden that was cultivated with water and nourished. A garden that was went back on, I'm going to pick that weed, I'm going to pick that weed, I'm going to pick that sin, I'm going to get rid of that habit, I'm going to try to get rid of that habit, and God's going to work in my life. I asked a question in my first point, how does that first garden turn out? I think we can see as we read verse 8, but if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near being cursed, and in its end is to be burned. How does that turn out as we think about the two gardens? The fruit reveals the quality of the garden. The fruit reveals the quality of the garden. Faith, hope, and love help us to reveal Jesus to others. The fruit of the Spirit helps us to see if Jesus is truly our desire. Is Jesus truly our desire? Do we truly want to know Jesus more? I hope that many of us are challenged and encouraged this morning as we reflect on the fruit of our lives. Bearing fruit is a gift Jesus gives us by the Holy Spirit. To choose to walk away from our faith and say that there is no God, we are without hope. We can't mix words. I just couldn't take that verses 4 and 5 out. Because if we say that there is no God, we are in trouble. While careful discipline is needed in the Christian faith, discipline should never become our focus. Jesus is our focus. He intercedes for us, and so we are asked to, so we need to stick so close to Him, no matter what we face. The preacher knows and encourages us to see that what we are called to do. He wants us to live a life that is abundance, that our faith is abundant. That is in his context. And here he concludes by saying, listeners, partake of the promise of our gracious God, beloved. I think it's in the middle of verse 9, beloved. The preacher's words turn back to words of encouragement and hope. He wants them to experience all that God has for them. Though tempted, and again, I think we can all say that there's times in our lives that we're tempted to abandon our faith. But in verse 9, he says, many have started well. The preacher was convinced that they knew the things. They knew the things of salvation. They knew what was important. And so in verse 10, he says that God knows your works. God knows that you've accepted him. God knows you love them. And their love for him is revealed in their love for others. Their faith is growing, and this is seen through their good works and their knowledge of salvation. It's a growing life. It is wise to take time and reflect on our faith. This passage helps us to see that how good God is in our life, what He is doing in us and through us. So, two questions as I wrap up. How do you measure the health of your spiritual life? What actions can you point to in your life that reveal God's love to others? Pastor Danny and myself can look out and we can kind of get a temperature on where our church is and where it should go, but really you're the only ones that can answer that question. You're the one that have to take time to reflect and see what God is doing in you and through you. But this is good news. This is good news in these last few verses because he is telling us and encouraging us to partake in the promise of God. Faith in Jesus means we are partaking in God's blessings and promises daily. To leave Jesus would to lose our promise, all of God's promises, to lose out on God's promises. This is our source of confidence. The preacher realized that these followers were too far along. They were too far along to abandon their faith. So he points them to the faithful ones. And in verse 12, he says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what has been promised. The promise of God was important to these people. I think the promises of God are important to us. They help us get through the daily grind. They help us get through those tough times, those things that we face in our life. And so the promises are there for us, and they remind us of God's promise. And for them, they could look back. They could look back at Abraham, the one that out of this one person, a great nation arose. David, and how God had chosen a king who would come to lead the people of the promised land with clarity and conviction. Jeremiah, who spoke to a broken, exiled Israel, that after 70 years, the people of promise would be restored to the promised land. And we all can look to Jesus, the promised Messiah, who came to save their people from sin and to give them the gift of eternal life. Friends, we are people of this promise. That's why we need to hear this radical warning this morning. We need to imitate those who have finished the race, who have inherited the promise, who have kept their faith, who have entered into God's rest. Who is it that you are looking to imitate in this way? Again, I sat in my office yesterday and watched I watched people interact and engage with one another. It was so sweet as a pastor to watch that. Because I just thought, that's the picture of what really I was reading over twice yesterday, my sermon. I thought, that's the picture. If we could realize that we can walk with each other, that we can have great relationship, and the smiling and the laughing and the running. This is really what the preacher wanted for us today. Yeah, he's stern. He used some words I didn't really want to go there. I didn't want to talk about losing our faith and walking away. Who wants to hear about that? But he used those words to remind us how good God really is. And we can see throughout Scripture how good God really is. Because even if you think of those four gentlemen that I just mentioned, God used them to do great things. He can use us to do great things if we are willing to hear that radical warning and allow Him to fill us with His Spirit and have desire to know Him and to grow more in love with Him.